Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in. Today we have an excellent program for you here on the wonderful and, might I say, nationally syndicated radio program, Senior Care Live, where today we have my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Bruce Glenn. He's the CIO and owner of the Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas. And Bruce, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve, and welcome to a Happy New Year 2023.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you as well. Did you have a good holiday break and New Year celebration and all that good stuff?
We did. Like everybody else, I think everybody had some touch of some illness or another, but survived it and we're off and running.
Yep. I don't know if it's too well known. I had a little bit of a cold, and then my wife said, you know, she's a nurse. Right. She's always trying to jab these Q-tips up my nose and test me for COVID. And I'll be darned, I had COVID. And it just felt like a mild cold to me. And I'm like, oh, here I am, right before Christmas. So I was out of the doghouse before Christmas, thankfully. So.
Right.
But anyway, for our listeners, you're going to want to write this phone number down. Bruce is an amazing resource in the world of financial services, and he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. So write this phone number down, and Bruce and his excellent team, they're located here in the KC market, okay, Kansas City, but this is a national program, and guess what, Bruce? You work with individuals all around the country.
That's correct. We have clients in, I think, 47 states currently. And okay. By the way, since you said Kansas City, go Chiefs.
Oh yes. There. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. And we'll pray for a better Patrick Mahomes' ankle. I read something where the last time he had a high ankle sprain, the next week he passed for like 447 yards and he went wild. So let's hope for another one of those.
Yeah, sometimes people can focus a little bit better with a problem like that.
Yeah, that's right. So here's the phone number to reach out to Bruce Glenn. Again, CIO and owner of the Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas. It's 913-563-7327. 913-563-7327. If you want some information, if you want a second opinion on your financials, whatever you may need, reach out and Bruce will do the best that he possibly can for you. So, Bruce, we're going to start off by talking about starting off that new year. We're going to start it off right. We're going to look for some unique tax ideas and beginning the new year many times comes with new policies, right? So we have to be aware of these things around taxes and other financial matters. Are there any new tax changes that people, and especially for those who are trying to save, should be aware of?
Thanks, Steve. So yes, absolutely. There's one of the most sweeping changes coming out of Washington, D.C. right at the end of 2022 called the Secure Act 2.0. It's kind of a trail along behind the 2019 Secure Act they put out. There's actually 90 different provisions in here, and they phase in some this year and some over the next 2 years. So I want to just highlight and touch on some things that are pertinent to right now. But I will tell you this. We've got a great report that if somebody wants to get a little bit deeper, we'll send that out to them. If they call the number you just gave, then that'd be great. We send that report out. But just kind of dive in on this real quick. So employees may now elect their 401k match to come in as a Roth contribution instead. So in the past, employers would put a match to your 401k, but it's always pre-tax, and you end up having to pay for that taxes when you pull the money out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will give you a qualifier here. There's a lot of nuances to it. Not every company has to, depending on the size of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the record keepers that administer the record keeping side of the 401k plans may not be up to speed on this just yet. So it's going to be a little bit of a starting curve on that one. One that does affect everybody currently is that there's a change this year to your IRA and your 401k, 403b contribution limits. So if you're still on, if you just did an IRA, you still can do your 2022 before your filing or April 15th. And so for 2022, that IRA limit was $6,000 if you're under age 50, or if you're over age 50, $1,000 additional for catch-up, mm-hmm. so $7,000 total. Now, the 401k is already done. You have to get your 401k in by the end of the year.
Yeah.
But now fast forward to this year, 2023, they've increased your IRA contribution to $6,500 if you're under age 50, and add $1,000 or $7,500 total if you're over age 50.
Mm-hmm.
The 401k has also gone up. These are inflation-adjusted items. So for the 401k, if you're under age 50, it's $22,500. If you're older, then you have a $7,500 catch-up or a total of $30,000 you can put in your 401k plan. So really, really important. And just two more I want to touch on, then I'll kind of give you an overlay of some of the other things that are affected. But the 529 plan, they're rolling out a provision that's going to allow you to, if you didn't use the 529 plan for qualified education purposes, and if you don't have something else you want to change a beneficiary on, you can actually roll that into a Roth IRA.
Hmm.
Again, there's some time frames you got to hold it, things like that.
So the 525 plan is the college savings plan.
Right, 529 college savings plan, absolutely.
And so if I'm a parent, or many of our listeners are grandparents, and maybe they put X dollars in a 529, their grandchild decided to maybe not go to school. This is probably a pretty common situation.
Sure, or get a scholarship or whatever it might be.
Exactly. So you have money that is sitting in this plan, and you need to do something with that.
Right.
Yeah.
So the old rule was that if you didn't use it for college purposes, you could take it out, and there'd be a 10% penalty on the growth of that money.
Ouch.
but now they're giving you another out that you can roll it into a Roth if you want to. Again,
okay.
You have to have it for a certain number of years, and there's some limits on how much you can roll into
it. The point is, there's some flexibility now,
right,
with this new update, these 90 different...
One of the 90 provisions.
Oh, my goodness. And that could save you that 10% penalty. That could be a lot of savings.
Right. And then another one I want to touch on, and I hope that nobody on in our audience is experiencing this, or none of their loved ones are experiencing this, but if they are, there's now a provision that they're putting in that if you have a terminal illness...
Mm.
They will allow you to withdraw your money out of your retirement plan without the 10% penalty that you would normally incur if you're under age 59 and a half.
Okay.
So that's an improvement there. Again, the doctor has to say that, yes, you're in bad shape and so on and so forth. Some rules and stipulations there, but that's a big help for a lot of folks that may be in that bad situation.
Yeah, and let's say you have X dollars in your retirement plans, and you need to use that maybe potentially life-saving medical treatment, you can access that without getting that big penalty.
Yeah, absolutely. So you still have taxes involved, but at least you waive the penalty.
Right.
And so then just a real quick touch. So this thing is really wide sweeping. Again, it's going to phase in over the next couple, 3 years. But some other things are going to touch on in future years. There's a lot of 401k plan design changes, some startup credits for companies that may not have had a 401k before. There's going to be forced auto-enrollment built into the 401k plans going forward. And there's going to be a national database. I mean, a lot of folks have changed jobs and forgotten about their money and can't find it. There's going to be a national database put in place to go out and find your old money sitting out there.
Okay, so let's not – I want to just park on that for a second.
Sure.
So you hear about all this, searchformymoney.com or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you had a tax return or someone leave you some stock, and you literally don't even know about it. So your dollars in a 401k, if you've moved from job to job and now you're, say, you're 55 and maybe you have $5,000 or whatever it is from a job you had when you're in your 20s and you lost track of that, you can now maybe be connected to those dollars.
Right. They're going to build up this national database starting, I believe it's at the end of next year.
Okay.
And I don't know how far back they're going to be able to go, but it's going to be at least improvement going forward.
I think it's a great idea.
Something else they're going to do is they're going to allow student loan matching in a 401k plan. So say, for example, somebody's out of college and they can't afford to get in the 401k plan because they're paying back the student loans.
Right.
Employers will be able to elect to give them the match into the 401k as if they were in the 401k anyway, because if they can prove that they're paying their student loans. So I think that's a nice provision for younger folks. And maybe your kids or grandkids might be able to take advantage of that. There's also a little touch as far as long-term care, flexibility. And then there's a new low-income savers match that's going to go into effect where the government's going to give you a 50% match on the first $2,000 that you might save, because a lot of folks that are not making a lot of money have a tough time saving. Okay. And then one last one I'll leave on this one, on this point. There's adoption and birth rule changes where you can have some flexibility on using money for adoptions or you know, a new child birth and those type things. So some good things are coming down the right road, but they're going to be phased in over the next couple 3 years.
That is gold right there. That is some spectacular information. So that's from Bruce Glenn, and he just reviewed some really, really important tax-related changes, investment-related changes, and they're all connected to that Secure Act 2.0 update. And Bruce, thanks for that. And again, if you want to reach out to Bruce Glenn and his amazing team, it's 913-563-7327. And give him a call, and they have a wonderful report that goes through all of the high points of this new Secure Act 2.0. Don't skip over this. Don't let your eyes glaze over. Don't do it. This is super, super important stuff. And we'll have more with Bruce coming up next. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. Fraud is everywhere, and all of us are vulnerable, especially the elderly. So here's the question. Fraud is declining among the elderly. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Fraud is everywhere, and all of us are vulnerable, especially the elderly. So here's the question. Fraud is declining among the elderly. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is... false. Fraud is not declining among the elderly. And Bruce, I think you have some thoughts on this.
Yes, it's a huge, huge problem. I know everybody is potentially a victim to fraud, and probably most people know somebody or have been attacked by it. But what I would say some ideas of best practices are always avoid pressure. Somebody calls and says they're from the IRS, or get a recording and says, if you don't call me by 5 o'clock, you're going to get an arrest warrant put out for you.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
Or even Amazon. You know, there's been people with scams saying that you know, you've got a credit due from Amazon. We missed the delivery, but we need your credit card information to credit you back. That's not good. That's a scam. Anytime they say something is free, but they need to give you a credit card to lock it in for you, avoid that type of thing. A best practice is always call back a phone number that you know is legitimate. If somebody says, hey, I'm calling from the IRS, then if you want to, don't talk to them. I would pull up the IRS number and then call back and get, you know, get a case number and that type of thing.
And I've always heard on that one from anyone, if it sounds like it might be real, but you have this queasy feeling in your stomach, like, I don't know, that doesn't sound legit. Okay, hey, I'm gonna hang up the phone and I'll call you back on your main line. No. If they really don't want you to do that, it's a scam.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do the same thing for our clients. So if we have a client that calls up and says, hey, I need some money for a trip or whatever the case might be,
yep,
we will call them back on the number we have on record.
Right.
And then we will actually identifying information before we, you know, do that, because that could happen in our industry also.
And call a phone number that you look up yourself. If they say, oh, okay, here's our toll-free number, well, you're just calling the scammer back
right
on their number. You look up the number and you call a verified number that you know is good, and that'll usually scare them off.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, another one that I see happen, and so I absolutely refuse to do a real estate transaction by wire transfer, and this is a huge problem. It wipes out, in some cases, somebody's entire financial livelihood. I always use verified funds in a cashier's check, either if I'm selling something or if I'm buying it, one or the other. Hmm. Because people, what they'll do is, and this can happen in a lot of things, but in real estate mortgages, it's happened a lot, where they'll take over your email address, right? So let's say that, you know, some bad actors take over your email address. Mm-hmm. They see that you've got some transaction coming on, and they have a mortgage company saying, hey, wire this money to this account. They can actually take on your email where you don't even get your emails,
yeah.
And they can spoof it up enough that they can, and then give you an account number to their account,
mm-hmm.
and then the money goes, and they can't even get it back if it goes more than a few minutes. It's absolutely terrible.
So, oh my gosh!
So be careful about that. If those email takeovers are a really big item, and always be careful. These are just best practices, and I'll wrap it up on that point. Don't open emails or texts if you don't know for sure what it is. Just be careful. And I don't even answer my phone if it's a number coming in that I don't even know who it is.
Yeah.
They can always leave a message if they want to, and I'll call them back.
If it's important, yeah, leave me a voicemail. Otherwise, forget it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then strong passwords. First year is always a good time of the year to make sure you got strong passwords. Change them, and change them more often than once a year, obviously. But it's a good time the first year to kind of make sure you do that. And be careful where you save it. Don't just, don't use things that are too obvious, and don't save it where somebody can break into your house and find it.
Yep. A friend of mine has this password vault, and I forgot what it was called. And I think there are numerous
LastPass
out there.
There's a lot of them out there, yeah.
And it automatically throws out weirdo passwords, and mm-hmm. it'll change them out. And it's almost like your own little vault of encrypted passwords that I don't know if anyone could break. It could break that one. I'm not sure, but he loves that, and I know that's out there. So
absolutely, it's been used quite a bit.
Okay, so about this Secure Act 2.0, it's impacting these what you call RMDs, or required minimum distribution. So what should our listeners know about changes to these RMDs?
Right, so that is another nice change. There's actually been some improvements here. So the required minimum distribution used to be at 70 and a half. They changed that age a little bit higher. That's the point where you have to start taking some of your money out of your pre-tax dollars so the government can get their money. Mm-hmm. It's a formula based on what your end of the year balance was. So December 31st balance, your IRA, that's going to dictate your RMD for 2023, and you have to take it out by the end of the year. They've changed that now to where during COVID, they changed where you didn't have to start doing that until you're age 72. Now, the Secure Act, they've moved that from 72 to age 73 for this year.
Okay.
So some people may be in that little in-between time frame there. And then in 10 years, of 2033, they're going to change it from age 73 to 75 because they're all living longer. But it used to be a penalty of 50% if you didn't take that RMD out. Whatever you didn't take out, 50% penalty. They're reducing that to 25%. And it could even be as low as 10% if you do a corrective action within 2 years of the occurrence. So that's some improvements on that. And then one last thing there, and this isn't going to go into effect until next year, but in the IRA world, your Roth, you didn't have to take a required minimum distribution on your Roth because you already paid your taxes. However, in the 401k world, you still had to do a required minimum distribution. Well, now next year they're going to change it where in the 401k world, you don't have to do a required minimum distribution on the Roth either. So that's a good change.
Okay. All right. And if this is making your head spin, okay, it's a lot. It's a lot. So this is why I always strongly recommend reaching out to Bruce and the great team there. And let me say this also, okay, and I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but if this is news to you, right? If your financial advisor is not up to speed on this, that's a big deal. If your CPA, your tax accountant, or your accounting firm that you work with, if they're not talking about this, that's a big deal. You can call Bruce Glenn for a second opinion, or maybe it's just as simple as, hey, Bruce, I'd love to have a copy of your report that talks about all of the primary provisions of this Secure Act 2.0. Reach out to Bruce at 913-563-7322. Anywhere in the country, and they'll get that out to you. 913-563-7327. All right. So what are some other recommendations that you have for our listeners on things that they should put into practice this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So, at the beginning of the year, it's always a good time to adjust your IRA or your 401k. We already talked about there's differences on what you can put in this year. Maybe adjust your payroll deduction. Maybe you're going to increase your HSA. Make a habit of trying to pay your future self something else. If you can improve at least 1% more in your savings, it adds up over time. So I think that's very, very important. tax filing is done. At that point, double check. Did I get a big refund? Maybe I should change my deductions.
Oh, I know some people who are really excited and proud that they get 15 or 20 grand back on their taxes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, government getting a free raise. The government likes it, but it's not good for you financially.
Yeah. It's just a free loan to the government. So, yeah. Oh, boy.
And then I'd always like to touch on estate planning as well. So it's always good if you've got life insurance, make sure you kind of double check that. And then, you know, beneficiary changes, your executor, make sure you've got all those things the way they need to be, the right person in place that can actually do the job when time comes to have done.
Excellent. Bruce, I could talk to you forever in 10 days on this stuff. There's so much to talk about. But the incredible Bruce Glenn, the CIO and owner of the Glenn Team Wealth Planning at Infinitas, 913-563-7327. And Bruce, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it and all the great information you shared with us today.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Always a pleasure.
All right, I'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we have some news. It's got me pretty fired up, so let's get to it.
And now, Senior Care in the News. A news report from Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting.
All right, so my wife was, she reads all this stuff, and the other day she said, ooh, and she started reading this article to me, and I'm like, okay, honey, you need to forward that to me because I want to share this in a news report. And this one is from the AARP. The headline, up to 40% of nursing home residents are living in facilities that are financially at risk of closure, and that was in 2022. Goes on to say, small town nursing home closes amid staffing crunch. Many facilities that remain open are limiting admissions. Now, I talked about this probably a couple of weeks ago. They're limiting admissions while others shutter and close down. Okay, I'm kind of paraphrasing some of this stuff on the fly. That means that more patients are marooned in hospitals or placed far, far away from their families. This goes on, and this was this particular instance or situation was in Iowa. Marjorie Kruger was stunned to learn last fall that she would have to leave the nursing home where she had lived comfortably for the past 6 years. It says the Good Samaritan Society facility in Postville, Iowa, would close, administrators told Kruger and 38 other residents in September. This was last September. The facility joined a growing list of nursing homes being shuttered nationwide and especially in rural areas. And this is what she said. The rug was taken out from under me, said Kruger, age 98 years old. She just looks like such a sweet lady. I thought I was going to stay here for the rest of my life. Now, it goes on to say her son found a room for her in another Good Samaritan center in Waukon. I hope I'm saying that right or pronouncing that right. Iowa, which is a small town 18 miles north of Postville. She said the new facility is a pleasant place, but she misses her friends and longtime staffers at the old one. And she said, quote, we were as close as a nice family. All right. It said the Postville facility's former residents are scattered all across northeastern Iowa. Some were forced to move twice after the first nursing home they transferred to also went out of business. And owners say the closures largely stem from a shortage of workers, including nurses, nursing assistants, and kitchen employees. And it just it goes on and on and on and on. And then I'm just going to kind of skip through some of this because I have some commentary I'd like to share with you at the end of this. But from February 2020 to November of 2021, just through that short time frame, the number of workers in nursing homes and other care facilities dropped by a whopping 410,000 staff nationally. And that's according to the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics. Staffing has rebounded, but only about 103,000 since then. So we're still down a net of over 300,000 employees. And guess what? It's just unsustainable. It's just unsustainable. In Iowa, 13 of the 15 nursing homes that closed in 2022 were in rural areas, according to Iowa Healthcare Association. Okay, so this is becoming catastrophic, quite frankly. And in another AARP article, it says that's roughly 15% of the nursing home workforce now gone. And it says that figure far outpaces the numbers lost in other healthcare sectors, which have also seen steep declines. And it goes on to say during the Omicron surge, when 39% of nursing homes reported a lack of nurses and or aides, it goes on to say in Alaska, Minnesota, and Washington, over 70% of facilities reported staffing shortages. So this is obviously this is a major, major issue. And this one is from U.S. News and World Report. Staffing shortages have U.S. nursing homes in a crisis. Goes on to talk about the shortage of nursing home beds for elderly in America due to severe staffing crisis that has caused long-term care facilities to cut back on new admissions. And I think I actually talked about that here recently as well. Three out of five nursing homes, or 61%, have limited new admissions due to staffing shortages. Now, I was, I talked about this, here locally, and this is one of the best places that we have to choose from here in my little corner, or little part of the world, and they have cut back their capacity by, let's see, let me do some quick math, 25 beds because they just don't have the staffing to fill the need. And trust me, they could fill those other 25 beds real quick if they had the staffing. And it goes on to say that nearly three out of four nursing home providers are concerned that they'll have to close their facilities over staffing problems, the survey found. We project that more than 400 nursing homes could close this year due to this workforce and economic crisis. So this just, I mean, I could read you article after article after article. Here's one that's actually pretty frightening. Inside the, and the quote is, the staffing apocalypse that is devastating U.S. nursing homes. It goes in the, just right off the top, that one says, and up to 40% of nursing home residents are living in facilities that are financially at risk of closure. So, you know, what if you have an elderly loved one living in a nursing home, and have you been paying attention to the financial stability of that particular place? And, you know, we never used to have to worry about this stuff. Oh, yeah. You know, XYZ provider, XYZ nursing home, long-term care community. Oh, they've been around forever and they do a great job. That's why we chose it. You never, ever even gave this a thought. But now, unfortunately, you do. You do have to think about this. And you might want to also think about, if the worst should happen and your provider should close, where is your next move? I mean, where would you choose if you had to move again? I would, if you're really smart, I would probably get out ahead of that. And I would not make any assumptions that your provider is going to make it. Look, they probably are, okay? But there's always a chance. I personally know of some long-term care providers that had independent living, assisted living, and long-term care. They chose to shut down the nursing home side of that, the long-term care side of it. And they converted the whole thing to independent living and assisted living just because of staffing and just the financial, just the math of it. Just that was just not working out for them. Okay. And this was a huge, beautiful place, national provider. It's happening all over the place. So do not make the mistake of assuming that everything is okay. So you want some good news on this? I have the solution. And this is so simple. This is so simple. I have the solution. Want to know what it is? All right, here it is. Stop the ridiculous COVID vaccine requirements for healthcare workers. Now, I already just lost some people. Oh, that's Steve. He's one of those anti-vaxxers. No, you would be wrong. I'm fully vaccinated, fully boosted. Okay, I am not an anti-vaxxer. But guess what? The vaccines do not prevent anyone from getting COVID-19. This just in, you can be fully vaxxed and fully boosted and still get COVID-19, just like me. Twice now, twice. Okay, our own FDA even stated to us that the Pfizer vaccine has been approved by the FDA to prevent COVID-19. It does not. It never has. So look, you could be fully vaccinated and get COVID-19, and then you can't come to work, and you go through all the protocols, and then you can come back in a certain number of days. And you can be unvaccinated and still working with elderly people and helping them. And if you should happen to get COVID-19, then you leave the building, they go through all the protocols, you can come back in a few days. This is really, really darn simple. Eliminate the COVID vaccine requirement so that we can fully staff our care facilities and properly care for our elderly loved ones. That is how you fix this whole self-created disaster. Is stop this mandate and stop it now.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right, so let's move on from apocalyptic staffing shortages and old Steve ranting and raving about the vaccine mandate. Seriously, that would fix it. That would go a long, 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 long way towards fixing that issue. It has to be addressed. This is a self-inflicted shot in the foot, and we can fix it. So simple. It's ridiculous. So, and I know this show is heard in Washington, D.C. If you are in Congress and you're hearing this and this is resonating with you, call me and let's talk about it. Seriously, I'm totally serious. I invite you to give me a call. I would love to visit with you about that. All right, let's move on to how to pay for care. And I'm going to focus on one particular payment method. But these are the only ways that you can pay for senior care. Private pay is using your own money. So you're writing a check and you're using your own resources. You have Medicare, which is medical coverage only, very limited. Medicaid is available if you should outlive your assets. You may have long-term care insurance, which does pay for long-term care. And then the VA aid and attendance benefit, which is one that I want to touch on right now. So the VA aid and attendance benefit, unfortunately, is not really very known. It's actually a very little known benefit available to veterans and the surviving spouses of a veteran. So it is financial assistance to help veterans or their surviving spouses pay for the high cost of senior care. You must require help with at least two activities of daily living. There is a service requirement and a financial criteria requirement. So let's jump in and break these things down. So on the service side of things, the veteran would have had to have at least had 90 consecutive days of active duty, which is pretty easy to do if you're active duty, at least one day during a period of war, and I'll provide that here in just a little bit, not dishonorably discharged. So all the other discharges are acceptable. Income is less than the cost of care to receive the maximum benefit. Really easy to do. Quick example, you're living in assisted living at $6,000 per month. Your income is $2,000 per month. That means that your income is less than the cost of your care that would trigger the maximum reimbursement under this benefit plan. And then liquid assets of $150,538 or less. Okay, so that does not include your house, your car, stuff in your house. We're looking at liquid assets, $150,538 or less. Okay, and we've got that side of things. The activities of daily living, those ADLs, you must require assistance with at least two of these. So, you know, if you have a home care provider coming into your home and you're paying for a service to help you with these activities of daily living, or if you're receiving help, say, at assisted living or long-term care, pretty easy to check two of these off the box. So our choices would be if you need help bathing. The next one, mobility or transferring. Next one, incontinence management or support. Eating or feeding yourself. Toileting, so using the restroom. Getting dressed. Medication management or meal preparation. So if you're in assisted living, I'll guarantee you, you're receiving help with at least two of those. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't even be there. You wouldn't need them. So that's pretty easy to check those boxes. Okay, and then here are the reimbursement amounts. So you have, and this is huge, okay? You talk about if a person has, you know, X dollars of income per month. So if you are a veteran, you probably have a veteran's pension, and then you have Social Security. You may have a pension from the job that you had after you were out of the military. So it's pretty common to have a veteran at, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month once you add all of this stuff up. I just met a veteran who has a large, large income that will pay for anything he needs. But he was also a colonel, right? So if you're in the military, you're going to have a nice pension. So, but. If your income is less than the cost of your care, then that's going to trigger these numbers. So a single veteran can receive up to $2,229 every single month as a thank you for your service to our country. That's a lot. So let's say if you had, I'll just say $2,000 a month for your income, and you get another $2,229. All right, so now your monthly income is up to $4,200, okay? And let's say your assisted living community costs $6,200. You're $2,000 short, okay? Well, your $2,000 will last you, you know, X months. Divide that into your assets, okay? If you didn't have that extra $2,229 per month, you're going to go through your liquid assets twice as fast. Okay, so this really stretches out that nest egg big time. A married veteran could receive a maximum of $2,643 every single month to be used to help you offset your cost of senior care. That is a lot of money. Now, what if the veteran died, but you are a surviving spouse of a veteran who served at wartime in at least 90 days and not dishonorably discharged and all of the other things, okay? I would say there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of individuals who could qualify for this benefit, and they don't even know about it. That's why I'm constantly talking about this. For every one of my clients with Senior Care Consulting, I always talk about this. Were you a veteran? Are you a veteran? Not were you. Are you a veteran? If your spouse has passed, you know, was your husband, was your wife, were they a veteran? Okay, we always talk about that to explore that. This is just such a great benefit, and unfortunately, most people haven't even heard about it. So the surviving spouse of a qualifying veteran can receive up to $1,318 per month. All of these are the brand new 2023 numbers, by the way, okay? Now, I've never worked with two married vets who both qualify. Okay, but guaranteed, a lot of people meet in their time in the military and they end up getting married. So if you have two married veterans, you could receive up to $3,536 per month. That is amazing. Most of my clients served in World War II. Many of them served in the Korean War, and now I'm having more and more clients who served in the Vietnam War. So if you have questions about this VA aid and attendance benefit, just give me a ring, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to visit with you about that. And then I always recommend calling our friends at the national headquarters of the VFW right downtown here in Kansas City. Just happens to be here in town where I live. But they are a phenomenal resource, and they can help you get applied for that benefit. All right. I'm Steve Kuiker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.